Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. I'm Vanessa Denha Garmo here from Epiphany Communications and Coaching, and I'm excited about our next guest. He comes from a very interesting background. He is actually a board-certified cancer specialist who's been in private practice of radiation oncology for more than 34 years. He's also an entrepreneur, having founded Elite Therapeutics and Bad Love Cosmetics Company. But he's also a very passionate writer, and he has an amazing series out there right now. And he's joining us to talk with us about the Bad Love series, about Kevin Shuey. Thank you so much, Dr. Shuey, for joining us.
Hey, Vanessa, it's so good to be with you today.
So this is really exciting. I mean, this is an interesting background, Dr. Shuey. You come from a medical background as a cancer specialist. How did you find the time and the passion for writing? And tell us about this series.
Well, I'll tell you what, Vanessa. I guess as a writer, I'm a late bloomer because I wrote the first book at age 62. And it's kind of interesting in my family. My dad started painting oil on canvas when he was 70 years old and became quite a prolific painter by the time he passed at age 92. So he painted for over 20 years. Anyway, I started, Vanessa, it's like I was struck by lightning in, in November of 2018. I'm a World War II history buff, and so I get all these journals about World War II, and I read the story of the Phantom Fortress, and it was actually been in the news here lately because there was a tragic crash of a B-17 in Dallas over the weekend. But so I read the story of the Phantom Fortress, which was a B-17 bomber that came into land in November of 1944 in Kortenberg, Belgium, at a British air base. Well, you wouldn't think much of this, but it's coming into land in the afternoon and there's no plane scheduled to land. And this, and as the brand, it looked like a brand new B-17 bomber just comes barreling into land, and the crews are radioing the tower. They don't know what to do. And it just keeps coming. They're radioing the plane. No one answers. And the plane comes in and lands. And it sits there. And they're all manning their anti-aircraft guns. They just don't know what's going on. And it sits there in the field with all four engines running. And nobody gets off the plane. And they literally waited for 20 minutes. And there is no radio contact. And no one gets off the plane. And so I think what they did, Vanessa, is they probably drew straws because they were worried the Germans were using it as a Trojan horse, or possibly everyone was dead and injured on board and they just couldn't respond. But nevertheless, a guy named John Crisp, a British lieutenant, he probably draws the short straw, and he has to go out to the plane to figure out what's going on. And so he finds his way on board, and there's leather flight jackets on the floor. There's candy wrappers open all over the place. And he makes his way to the cockpit. There's even parachutes lined up against the fuselage. And he doesn't see anybody. And he makes his way to the cockpit. There is no one on board. The plane is empty. So the story goes, and literally this is in the World War II history books. The listeners can Google the story of the Phantom Fortress. So John turns the engines off by trial and error, and they do an investigation, and there's quite a story behind all this. But you have to believe that the crew bailed out with the plane on autopilot. They had lost two engines, but all four engines were running when it landed. And so you have to believe that the crew bailed out and the plane somehow magically restarted two of its engines and flew to a friendly Air Force base and landed itself. And in World War II, these planes were not, they're not like computer controlled drones of today. I mean, So it's a crazy story, but it's true. And so it just, I felt like I was struck by lightning, like, you know, time travelers could have been on that plane and they could have got zapped back to the future before John Crist got in there. And that was the genesis of me becoming a book author.
Wow. So Bad Love's Tigers has won 200 awards for best screenplay and best script from the film festivals around the world. Tell us about that. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been so much fun. So I wrote the screenplay to the first book, Bad Love Strikes, which then Bad Love Tigers is book two. And in that book, the Bad Love Gang, so this is modeled after my boyhood friends. And so everybody has nicknames. My nickname in the book series is Bubble Butt or BB. And so Bubble Butt is the narrator of the book series. And so I wrote the screenplay to book two and put it out there in March of this year. And as of just this past week, it has now won more than 200 international awards for best screenplay, best original story, best sci-fi screenplay, best action thriller. It's really, so, you know, in book two, Bad Love Tigers, the Bad Love Gang are ambushed by a Russian spy in their time travel machine. And they have to go back and talk to President Roosevelt about what went wrong. And Roosevelt sends them on this epic road trip across 1945 America from Warm Springs, Georgia, all the way to Area 51.
Wow.
And you get to learn what's going on in Area 51. And then they have to use the time machine to volunteer for the Flying Tigers in China to keep the secrets of Area 51 safe. Hmm. And so it's a kind of a crazy plot. It's like Teenage Goonies meets Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And it has captured the imagination of people all over the world. The screenplay has, Vanessa. I mean, it is one in South America and Australia and North America and Canada and in Southeast Asia and Israel and in the Middle East and Spain and France. And it's one everywhere. And so I think we have a global hit here. And calling all producers. I mean, we just have to find the right team to put this onto the big screen.
Did you originally write it as a book or originally write it as a screenplay?
So I originally wrote it as a book, but you know, I'm very visual.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, me too.
I do that with my cancer patients. You know, I try to help them visualize what's really going on. And I think being visual helps you really understand difficult concepts. And so as I write, I think I really write my books like I'm watching a movie. The hard part is taking the book and converting it to a screenplay because you have to really, you know, one page of a screenplay is 1 minute of a movie. So if you have Bad Love Tigers is 95 pages. So it's about an hour and a half movie.
Okay.
I had to take a 340-page book and condense it down to 95 pages.
Wow. So did you write the screenplay and the book? You did both, right?
That's right.
Wow. So you write about serious subject, such as the Holocaust, but in a feel-good kind of way. What made you decide to use that kind of tone in your book?
You know, I'm really glad you asked because I think it gets to the core of what makes this such a fun series and a good series to read. This is really historical fiction with a twist of science fiction. So a young person or middle-aged or older person, they're going to learn a lot about history by reading the book series. And so I, as a cancer doctor, I really have spent my entire career focusing on hope. You, as a cancer patient, you have to have hope, or you're not going to get from point A to point B. And that concept of hope is something that is just totally infused in my book series and the screenplays. And I think that's what's made the screenplay so popular, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then your books are interspersed with links to like songs that readers can listen to while they read, kind of like musical scores in a movie. This really adds a kind of a different flavor to a book and adds to emotional impact and enjoyment of your book. Tell us how this came about. You know, why did you decide to go that route?
You know, we're on audio right now. I kind of wish we had video because you could see me smiling from ear to ear right now. So my dad, when I was a little boy, so this is, I'm a baby boomer. And so in the early 60s, my dad was actually, he had come out of World War II. He was a jukebox vendor in St. Louis County. And so we had a Wurlitzer style jukebox in our basement with all the latest 45 RPM records. And I have two older sisters. And so I'm sitting in our basement with the jukebox playing, watching my sisters dance. And my brain was imprinted with all the songs of the 60s and early 70s. So if I see something or I'm talking to you, for example, a song might pop into my head. And so I call it that I have a music brain. And so I put songs in all of the books in a soundtrack. And so, for example, Bad Luck Tigers opens up with "You're So Vain" by Carly Simon. I mean, how good is that? and so the songs are called out in bold type throughout the books. And I invite the reader to listen to the songs as they're called out. It makes it more of an immersive experience, Vanessa, reading a book and then actually, you know, telling Alexa to play Born to Be Wild. And then you're reading this and the music's playing. It's like kind of like being at the movies.
Wow, that's great. I love that. I never, you know, that's such a clever thing to think about in a book. You never think about that. You really were thinking about, I think that goes along with their visual aspect in writing the screenplay. You're really thinking about the movie itself.
Absolutely. I mean, think about movies that you really love. Most of them have good soundtracks, right? I mean, you know,
you
remember those songs from those movies, and then you hear the song later and you have, you know, it kind of pops a vision in your head of being there at the movie. And so this is kind of doing it in reverse. It's like creating the book and the scenes in the book. And I think it's going to lend itself to really a terrific movie series. That's my hope and my prayer anyway.
That's wonderful. We're talking with the author of this book series that has been awarded many awards, more than 200 so far. And it's Dr. Kevin Shuey, who is actually a board certified cancer specialist who's been in private practice for radiation for more than in oncology for more than 34 years. And he's written this book series that's a screenplay, and he's written several awards for it. You know, your job, your career as a radiation oncologist for more than 34 years, how has it shaped your outlook on life and hope and the strong messages you share in the book?
Well, that's a really deep question. And, so I'm one of these people that believe in heaven and the life ever after. And I just don't think that we live and we die and we turn to dust and that's it. And so if that's what we did, we live, we die, we turn to dust, we all ought to be partying every minute of the day. I mean, come on, what else? And so I just, you know, life is fragile. And the other thing that you learn about as being a cancer doctor is life is short. And the older you get, you realize the shorter life is. And so it's taught me a lot about life. And people are just amazing. And I love what I do because cancer really doesn't know any boundaries, right? Vanessa, I mean, it affects children, it affects all races and men and women equally. And so it's an indiscriminate disease. And so I love the fact that I've been able to spend my career working with people from all walks of life. But the common denominator is when you are diagnosed with cancer, it is like death has visited your doorstep. And when that happens to you or someone that you dearly love, it really brings life into focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I relish the discussions that I have as I get to know my patients better, because it's not like you're talking about the price of bread. You know, you're talking about the meaning of life and the value of life and the things that are important, like, you know, family and your relationships in this life. And mm-hmm. so I love what I do. And I think that the readers will see a lot of that as they go through the books, because, you know, when you're a book author, there's got to be a part of you in those writings.
So I understand that every year you write a skit for your cancer survivors, which you and other doctors put on. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we do it for Cancer Survivors Day. And, and I think about it. I love the question you're asking me, by the way, that when you think about the Cancer Survivors Day, you want to make it something that brings smiles and joy to people. And so what I started doing is I would write these skits and we would have a theme, like it would be surfing survival or groovy survival. And so it would be music from the 60s or 70s. And so I would write the skit, and it would be the doctors would play the role. Let's say we had a Top Gun theme one year. And so it would be the pilot Maverick, you know, asking Goose a question. And then the answer to the question would be a clip from a song. And the doctors then would have to lip sync the song and our dance with it in front of all the patients. And it made the doctors actually like just real flesh and blood human beings, which was so good for the patients. And so that's what it was. It was basically a skit where we asked each other questions and the answer to the questions were clips from songs. And then we acted those out. So
that's a lot of fun. What was the doctor's reaction when you kind of posed that to them and said, we're going to do this?
Well, not every doctor will volunteer for that. So you have to have somebody that at least is not totally shy about making a fool of themselves in front of 1,000 cancer patients.
Yeah, that's funny. It's a little humility there, right? Now, you also tell us that you said the series would be a perfect read for teenagers. Tell us why.
Well, these are the Bad Luck Gang are teenagers. So these are basically high school students that are coming up with the solutions to problems that adults can't figure out. In a way, it's a little bit like it's kind of an older version of Stranger Things. In that regard, because Bubble Butt in Battle of Tigers is 17 years old, and so the players or the characters are ages 15 to 18 in Bad Love Tigers, and then there's a pilot that they rescue from World War II named Bucky, and he's 26 years old, and then they have these two surrogate parents, Waldo and Mary, that are actually based on real people that I grew up with. And we would all go over to their house. They didn't have their own children, and their house kind of became a gathering place for us. And so Waldo is a character in the book. So there's a couple of adults, but really these are teenagers that are the stars of the Bad Love series. And, you know, I think teenagers can read this and hopefully watch it on the screen sometime soon. And they'll be able to identify with somebody in the cast of characters here, because all of them have unique personalities and their characters are developed in a way that I think, you know, it would be a quiet, and that, I really think that's why it's so popular worldwide, is because, you know, people are reading this and they're like, oh, that's me, you know, I can see me in that.
Yeah. So the books are dedicated to your sister. Tell us about her influence in your story.
Yeah, so my sister, Kathy, I'm the youngest of three children. She's the oldest. And about 5.5 years ago, she came down with triple negative stage 3 breast cancer.
Ooh.
And I'm happy to report that she did get the treatment that she needed. And it's now 5.5 years later. And
she's, oh, wonderful.
And she's cured. But she and I were really time travel fanatics when we were kids. And so, you know, here I am, a cancer doctor, and this is my sister that loves time travel. I get struck by lightning after reading the story of the Phantom Fortress. And then by trade, she was an English teacher. Mm. And so I was having her, you know, kind of check out my writing. And, you know, she really gave me, Vanessa, she really gave me the first clue that I might be onto something, because I sent her the manuscript to the first book, and she called me and she says, you know, Kevin, she says, I think you could be onto something here, because I'm having a hard time figuring out what's fiction and what's fact.
Wow.
And wow. That's the way I write, because, you know, I'm a scientist as a cancer specialist, but sure. I'm weaving in fiction. And I think Kathy really gave me a lot of encouragement in that regard, because if being an English teacher, if she couldn't discern what was fact and what was fiction, I thought that was a good sign.
That's a great sign. We're talking with Dr. Kevin Shuey today. He's a board certified cancer specialist who's been in private practice in radiation oncology for more than 34 years. He's an entrepreneur, having founded Elite Therapeutics and Bad Love Cosmetics Company. He's also a writer, and he has a book series and a movie script that has won more than 200 awards. So how do we get the book?
Well, I have a website, www.kevinshewe.com. And you can go to the website, and there's a lot of information there, and hit the buy tab, and it will take you to Amazon or Barnes and Noble, or you can go directly to Amazon and Barnes and Noble and type in Bad Love Strikes or Bad Love Tigers or Bad Love Beyond, Bad Love Medicine. At any rate, the books are available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble in hardcover, paperback, Nook, Kindle, and even Amazon Audible. All four books are in Audible. And then my publisher made me do it, Vanessa. So I'm actually on TikTok and Instagram at Real Kevin Shuey. So I don't know if you do Instagram, Vanessa, but if I do.
I'm going to follow you right now.
Awesome.
What is it?
At Real Kevin Shuey. And it's a hoot. So I put all these awards to music, and you'll get a real flavor of my music acumen by looking at my Instagram. And so, but I'm also on TikTok as well. It's same handle, at Real Kevin Shuey.
All right. You follow me, I follow you.
Okay, done.
I'm Vanessa Denha Garmo. So at Real Kevin Shuey. What else do you want to share with our listeners today?
Well, I would say, so, you know, if you have children or grandchildren, any children that are ages 10 and up, I think this is a great series for them. Start with Bad Love Strikes and go forward from there. I mean, Bad Love Tigers, the one we're talking about, it's won all the awards. But these will teach, they will teach the children and then these about history. And they'll weave in time travel and this group of teenagers that are solving these problems that adults can't solve. And it will be a wonderful education. And then it'll be wonderful entertainment if you're a baby boomer or older and you read this, and you'll be like, oh man, I know that song. And you'll, you know, and it brings back a lot. It's the group starts in the mid 19, you know, they're from the 1970s and they travel back to World War II era. And so I wish that every high school English or history class would take up this book series, because I think there's so much to be learned from what America went through in World War II.
Yeah, I love the fact that you said that it's a fun way to learn about history and be engaged and teach, you know, kids about history, but in a fun, entertaining way.
You know, Vanessa, I grew up in a post-World War II neighborhood in St. Louis County. And, you know, back in those days, we didn't have cell phones and video games. We had landlines in we had dial phones in our homes. But if you didn't go outside and play with your friends, you were one lonely kid.
Yeah.
And so that's the world that I grew up in, is that, you know, we were outside playing nonstop until, you know, from morning until night, or when we had to go eat dinner to interrupt our fun for a little
while.
That was me. And, you know, I wonder how much the world is still like that. And so this harkens back to that time, and there's so much to learn.
Well, I want to thank you for being on It's Your Community and sharing your story with us, and congratulations on the great success with this series and winning more than 200 awards. That's really impressive.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I just, you were asking me if the audience could do something. Let's get the audience to pray that, you know, we get Steven Spielberg or Ron Howard or Jerry Bruckheimer, J.J. Abrams, one of those guys to latch onto this and make it the next Top Gun series or whatever. It's really Raiders of the Lost Ark. It gives you that kind of flavor, or Stand By Me. I need some people pulling to get those producers in line and make this movie and get it out to the world.
Well, that would be fabulous. And I'll get to say that I interviewed you, and I was one of the first interviews before it became a movie. So,
hey, you get a ticket to a front row seat.
I'll take it. I'll take it, Kevin. Thank you so much. And I really do hope that happens for you. And bless, God bless you, and good luck with everything.
Thanks so much, Vanessa. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
Pleasure talking with you. If you have any questions or comments or topics you want us to get to me, Vanessa Denha. You can do that by going to Epiphany Communications and Coaching and email me there, or find me on any of my social media platforms. I am on LinkedIn, Vanessa Denha Garmo, Twitter, Instagram, and Epiphany Communications and Coaching on Facebook. As always, we remind all of you to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your community. We'll catch you next time right here on It's Your Community.
It's Your Community, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.